I'm going to do a Beautiful Star of Bethlehem. It's not in y'all's books, so sorry about that, but I think everybody knows it. Stand with us if you'd like. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light for those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, for Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us the light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on.
Bless you, Sister Pat, Sister Treve. Appreciate those good talks. We're going to ask Sister Maddie to come if she would now, and you pray for her. She shares a song with us, and I'm sure thankful for this young lady and for all of our young people here. I want to tell them that I was so touched and moved by the Christmas program this year, and I'm thankful for all of you, and you pray for her today as she sings. God will bless her.
One silent night in one little town, two needed shelter, but none could be found. They soon found a stable fit for a king. Oh, one little baby. One little manger, one little bed, one loving mother to cradle his head. A head that with thorns would be crowned just for me. Oh, one little baby. One little baby, one perfect plan. One dying savior to raise fallen man. Shining star from far off was seen. Three wise men came to worship their king, the king on whose kingdom was not earthly ground. Oh, one little baby. One blessed savior, one holy lamb, one sinful world in his tiny hands. Hands he stretched out to be nailed to a tree. Oh, one little baby. One little baby, one perfect plan. One dying savior. I met this dear Savior at dark Calvary, born for the world to die just for me. Oh, one little baby. Born for the world to die just for me. Oh, one little baby.
Good to be here, isn't it? I ask for your prayers today. I know the great truth that Jesus spoke to his disciples when he said, "Without me, you can do nothing." That's so true. And I ask an interest in your prayers here today. I'd like to share some scripture with you this morning.
If you would like to read with me, turn to the first chapter of Genesis. And I want to read just a short reading lesson, beginning with verse 14. Genesis chapter 1, beginning with verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." And I'll stop my reading there, having read from Genesis 1, verses 14 through 19. I want to speak today about God's purpose in creation. I'm convinced, as well as I know that you folks here today are convinced, that God created all things. To me, and I know obviously it's not to everybody in the world, but to me, there's a great absurdity in even trying to look at it any other way. God is the creator of all things. He is our maker. And I know that in the things that God created, that He had a purpose for everything that He made. There was not anything that God made where He just said, "Well, I think I'm going to make that. I don't know what I'll do with it, but I'm going to make it, and maybe I'll find something to use it for." God is not arbitrary in that way. The creation was well thought out and well designed, and everything that God created had a purpose. We know that many years later, we know that a man named Solomon wrote about the purpose of man in the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. He said that to fear God and keep His commandments is the whole duty or purpose of man. God had a purpose in creating man, and that purpose was that man would serve Him and that man would honor Him by obeying the things that he was told to do. God had a purpose in that. Solomon also wrote and said that there is a purpose to everything under heaven. There's a time to every purpose under heaven. God had a purpose when He made the stars. And I wanted to spend a little time today and focus on that. God created the stars. Now, I don't know how much time that you spend. I don't seem to do this as often as I used to. But I remember growing up, I was fascinated at night to look up at the stars. I spent a lot of time outdoors. I really enjoyed hunting. I enjoyed fishing. And I spent a lot of times outdoors. I spent a lot of time camping when I was growing up, and would just sometimes in the evening just lay down on the ground or lay down on one of those long lounge chairs or something and just gaze up at the stars. And they, to me, were always fascinating, and they were always beautiful. And we're told in these verses that were read that God had a purpose in creating them. He said that these things would be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. The sun, the moon, the stars were made for the purpose of giving light. He made one great light to rule the day, one great light to rule the night, and also he made the stars. We're also told that the purpose of these would be to divide the day from the night, that they would be for signs, and that they would be for seasons and for days and years. I want to tell you something that I find interesting, in fact, intriguing. You go out and you look at the stars. God at times used them in reference to Israel and his promise that if they would obey him, that he would multiply them and make them as the stars of heaven in number. Sometimes he would say he would make them as the sand on the seashore. He would make them a large nation of people. But you go out and you look up in the sky, and I don't know how many stars are up there. Can you tell me how many stars there are up in the heavens? I know one thing, that all those times in my life that I spoke about when I was growing up and I was gazing up into the night sky and looking at those beautiful, glittering, shiny stars up there, there's absolutely no way that I could have ever laid and looked up at those and counted all of them. The stars form beautiful things. They form beautiful constellations. Men have, given names to some of them. We look up and we speak about a certain constellation, and we may say, that's the Little Dipper, or that's the Big Dipper, or we may think about the North Star, things of that nature concerning the stars, but we don't know how many stars there are. We don't know what to call all of the stars, but you know, the Bible tells me God does. There's a verse that I made note of in the Psalms, if I can find it here, that it says that God tells all of the stars, which means he numbers them, and that he also knows them by their names. And that's in the 147th Psalm, verse 4, that he tells the number of the stars, or he counts the number of the stars and calls them all by their names. There are places you can look in Job chapter 9, verse 9. He speaks about some of them in Job 38, 31 and Amos 5 and 8. Speaking there about some of the names of the stars and of the different constellations and the beauty that they make when they form together in that way. They're beautiful. To me, they are. I don't know what all that, to be honest with you, I don't know what all that God meant in his word when he said that they would be for signs. I've studied that. I've thought about that. I don't know where really honestly to take that, how far to take it. But I do know one thing that they do. I do know that when we look up at them and we see them up there in the sky glittering and shining down on the earth, I know one sign that they absolutely give. They declare that there is a creator. They declare the existence of God. The stars themselves, if we didn't look at anything else, the stars themselves would declare unto us that God exists and that he made all things. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The things of him from the creation are clearly understood by the things that are made. We can look at those things that are made, and we ought to have sense enough. Every human being ought to have sense enough to look at the things that are made and to know that God is the creator. To the things that we see, the things that we behold, ought to declare unto us, and we ought to grasp in our mind by nothing more than the things that we see, that there is a divine being that exists. And for everyone that does not do that and does not embrace that, to look at the things that we are able to see, again, the stars, for example, to look at these things and to not know from those things alone that there is a divine creator, no wonder that the Bible tells us that those that say in their heart there is no God are fools. No wonder. There were people that we read about in the Bible. And you know, to be honest with you, this is one of those, when the Lord impressed my heart with this thought and I began to study, this is one of those thoughts that I really had no idea myself where it would go. I thought I would just try to follow the Lord and let the Lord guide me in my studies and let the Lord guide my thoughts and direct my speech when I get up in the pulpit. But I know this, that God is the creator of the stars. He made them and he owns them and he had a purpose in them and he knows how many of them there are and he knows every one of them by their name. And I started to say that there were people that we read about in the Bible that were so, they were fascinated by the study of these heavenly bodies. They were fascinated by the study of the moon and the study of the sun and galaxies and comets and stars and things of that nature. There were people that we read about in the scriptures that spent their time in studying those things. They were obviously intrigued by them and fascinated by them. It led me into a little bit of studying about two things called astronomy and astrology. Some things that I never give that much thought to, but the Bible doesn't, to the best of my knowledge, you won't find the word astronomer in the Bible anywhere. It's not recorded. And an astronomer was somebody that when they studied these things, when they studied the stars and the moons and the planets and things like that, they studied them strictly from a standpoint of science. They studied them for position and they studied them for size and things of that nature. And their study was strictly scientific. Now, the Bible does talk about astrologers. An astrologer was someone that studied these same things that the astronomers did, but they studied them from the standpoint of how they related to humans. They studied them from the standpoint of how they gave signs and how they related in the scheme of humanity. The astrologer was someone that would believe that they would be able to see signs in these things that would predict and even foretell things upon the earth. Now, when we read about them in the Bible, the word astrologer we find one time in the Bible. The plural of it, astrologers, is found eight times in the Bible. And all of the times that the Bible uses that word, it has a connection with Babylon. All but for one place, in Isaiah chapter 47, I believe it is, was the only place other than the book of Daniel that mentioned astrologers. He called them stargazers. And even in Isaiah's mention of it, he mentioned them in connection with Babylon because they were mentioned during a time when Isaiah was prophesying the doom that was going to come upon Babylon. So for some reason, these astrologers had a connection there with Babylon, and you can read about them in about seven or eight places in the book of Daniel. Now, God didn't seem to put much stock in the astrologers. God didn't want his people to go to the astrologers, these people that felt that they could look up into the heavens and they could look at the stars and the things of that nature and come back and give people answers from those things. God did not want his people to go to them. The astrologers, you read about them, and I would urge you to do that. You read about them in the book of Daniel, and you'll find out that they were grouped in with the soothsayers, with the magicians, with the sorcerers. I know when Nebuchadnezzar had that dream that troubled him, the astrologers were among those that he summoned, that he called in to give to him the interpretation of his dream, and they were not able to do it. But when Daniel was brought before him, when the sorcerers and the astrologers and those could not interpret the dream, when Daniel was brought in before him, he said, "There is a God in heaven that reveals secrets." And God did not want him to look to those people. He did not want them to look to those stargazers, those astrologers, seeking an answer. He wanted them to look, or him rather, to look to the Lord. And you know, that's the same way that it is today. Listen, there are a lot of things that you and I could get caught up in. There's a lot of hokey things that you and I could get caught up in. God doesn't want us going to fortune tellers. God doesn't want us going to soothsayers. God doesn't want us going to witches and things of that nature. When we need answers in our lives, we need to look to the Lord. God has the answers that we need. And I'll just leave that with you, but you'll find that to be true, that you read about these people in the scriptures. Well, I'll give you a verse here from Jeremiah 10, verses 1 and 2 says, "Hear ye the word of the Lord, which speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them." He didn't want them to be caught up in those things. The stars were used by God. I said in the beginning of this that God had a purpose in creating the stars. And though he did not want his people, as I said, going to these stargazers, going to these people that study these heavenly bodies, trying to predict how their life would go from things that they had seen in the sky, though God did not want them to do those things, we do have some very notable circumstances and some very notable situations in the Bible where God called upon his stars that he had created, and I believe used them for signs and used them for a purpose, and God used them to make a point and to get something across to his people. One of those happened with Joseph. You go back into the 37th chapter of Joseph, and you can read about the time that Joseph dreamed a dream, and there were stars, there were 11 stars that were very much a part of that dream. He dreamed this dream, and he revealed it to his family, and he told them that he had dreamed a dream, how that the sun and the moon and the 11 stars had bowed down before him there. And so Jacob took that to mean, and Jacob's answer to Joseph, his son, when he told him this, was that, are you saying that myself and your mother and your 11 brothers are going to bow down to you on the earth? That was the way that Jacob understood it when Joseph told him what he had dreamed. But I'm convinced that God sent that to Joseph. I'm convinced that God was in that dream, because you go on and you study the life of Joseph and you'll find out that that is exactly how it turned out years later. That there was a time when God put him in a situation where he needed him to be, that he might keep these people alive there in Egypt during the great years of famine. God used stars in Revelation, in the writing about the seven churches of Asia. God used stars to represent the pastors of the churches there. You read Revelation chapter 1, verse 20, you'll find that the seven stars are the angels or the messengers of the seven churches there. God used the stars in the book of Joel, when God's people were being warned of God's wrath that was going to come, a judgment from God that was going to come upon them because of their disobedience. God used the stars. He said the fact that the stars would stop giving off their light would be one of the signs of that, when he was telling them about the locust and the canker worm and the caterpillar that was going to come and just devour the land because of the way that they had sinned against God. He told them that in the book of Joel, that one of the things that would happen was that the stars would no longer give off their light. Revelation chapter 6 tells us that when God brings an end to time, that the stars are going to fall from heaven. Imagine that. Imagine those beautiful, glittering, shining stars that you've looked up at many times in your life. God said the day is coming when the sun is going to become as black as sackcloth of hair. The moon's not going to give her light anymore. The stars from heaven are going to fall as a fig tree casts off her untimely figs when she has been shaken by wind. God has done, and he will do, a lot of things with those stars that he created there in the beginning and put up in the sky. I made note of this verse there from Joel chapter 2, verse 10. The sun and the moon would be dark, and the stars would withdraw their shining. God's still in control of the stars, isn't he? God is still very much in control of the stars. Well, I'm sure that you already know. I wanted to speak today for just a few moments before I finish about a time that a real special star was shining in the sky. Look at these little children here today. Aren't they something beautiful, aren't they? The babies that have been born here this year at our church, they're beautiful. I know that their parents love them. They take them and they hold them. I've watched them. I've looked at the way some of these little babies look at their parents. Just those little eyes just glittering. Seeing their parents hold them up close to them, nurture them, care for them. Children are a heritage from the Lord. Amen. Beautiful. I love children. God creates them. They're beautiful. But this star, and Sister Maddie sang about it just a moment ago, this star I'm talking about wouldn't shine for your children. It wouldn't shine for my children. There was only one child that this special star would shine down upon. God used that star. I'm convinced of it. God used that star. And I believe in that situation that God used astrologers. I believe that's what those men were. They were studiers of the stars, and they were men that were looking for a specific sign, a specific star. They were looking for a sign in the form of a star. And you know, I've thought about that, and I don't really know. I don't have the answer. I don't know what it was. I believe that they had studied the prophecies. I believe they had studied the writings. It's obvious to me that they were looking for a fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the Messiah. But I'm not certain exactly what it was that they had read that had caused them to anticipate that they would find him by being guided by a star. Some of you probably know more about it than I do. I'm just not sure exactly what it was that made them think that, but perhaps it was this. If you look in Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, there was a prophecy given by Balaam when he had viewed Israel and the way that God seemed to have favor with them and the way that they were staying in their tents there. And the Almighty God brought Balaam into a trance and gave to him a vision. And in that vision, from Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, this prophecy was given. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Sheth. Perhaps this scripture, along with others, as I said, I don't know exactly what it was, but I know that these wise men, they were searching the stars, they were looking for a specific star, and somehow they knew to look for a star that would point them to the birth of the Lord's Messiah. We should turn and read it. In Matthew chapter 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. You know, they were not looking for just a star. There were many, many stars in the sky. You know, these men no doubt had seen many stars. No doubt they had spent time meditating up on and thinking about many stars, and what does this star mean, and what does this star mean, and what is this constellation all about, and what's this group of stars all about. No doubt these men had spent many hours in that type of study, but it was not just a star that they were looking for. They were looking for a very unique and a very special star. The star that we're talking about, they said, we have seen his star in the east. We have seen his star. That star did not belong to anybody else, and it still doesn't. And listen, the one that star overshadowed, and it's not the star that's important, it was who was laying under it. You know, the actors, they've got stars out there on the, what is it, the Walk of Fame or something like that. They got those stars. I'll tell you, the Lord's a star in my life. That star that that shined over him, make known that he had been born, would not shine over anybody else. It would not shine over anybody but him. He is the light of the world. He is the way, the truth, and the light. No man can come to God but by Jesus Christ. Listen, lost friend, if you don't find salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to die lost and without God and split hell wide open, because he is the only way that people can be saved. That baby that was born there in Bethlehem of Judea, that baby that was made known to those wise men by the shining star shining down upon him, they said, we have seen his star. When they saw this star, they knew that it was his star. Somehow they knew that that was the star of the Messiah. Somehow they knew that this particular star, of all the stars in the sky, they knew that this particular star was the one that was showing where the Messiah had been born, and that he had been born. And salvation is in him. It's not in any other. You'll get it there, or you won't get it at all. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. You and I today need to still be following that star. We need to be today as those wise men were. We need to be looking for the place where Jesus is. We need to be looking for that in our lives. Lord, you, by your light, you guide me. You know, as God's people, we are taught that we are to walk in the light. And we ought to pray that by God's guidance and through his light that illuminates the path before us, we ought to always seek to be where he is and to be where he would have us to be. You know, sometimes we go the wrong way. Sometimes we're not like those men, you know, all too often. We're not looking for that star. We're not following that. We're not looking for the place where Jesus is. We've turned around and we've ran off into the world and gone in all sorts of wrong directions. And the first thing we know that we're far away from where the Lord would have us to be. But he is the light of this world. The light was shining down brightly upon him when he was born into the world. And all of the time that he was in the world, the light shined from him. He said, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And he certainly was. I'm thankful for God's creation. I'm thankful for his purpose in the things that he created. I'm thankful that he used those men there during that time. And we know from the study of that second chapter of Matthew that there was obviously some time that had passed before they finally got there to where he was at. But I'm glad that there were people that desired to look for him. God used them. God warned them. God protected his son through them. The angel coming to them and warning them, don't you take that information back to Herod. You go another way. God knew Herod's heart, didn't he? He knew he wasn't interested in worshiping that child. He wanted to do him in. But God watched over him and protected him. I don't know what it looked like, but I'm sure it was a radiant star indeed. I'm glad that it shined out. I'm thankful that our Savior was born into the world. If he wouldn't have been born, he couldn't have died. It all had to start there, didn't he? He had to be born into the world to do the things for us that he did. And I'm thankful that he was, and I thank God for his son, for everything that he's done for me, and I'm looking forward to seeing him one day. You know, when we get to heaven, that place is going to be lit up. Because Jesus will be there shining. He will be the light of that land. I appreciate your attention. I'd like for us to have a song. I want to say this. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to be saved. You need to come to the light. You need to seek after the Lord. You need to be saved more than you need life itself. And I'd like for us to stand and have a song.